Get ready.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 196 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is August 18th when you're listening to this. If you're on twitch.tv right now, twitch.tv/KamiJaceGaming, it is August 16th when we're recording and when you're watching. So thank you so much for joining in. If you are, Paul, of course, is not with us. He just moved. It is also Texas where he is. So it's a lot of fire and brimstone, as I understand it. Those of you on Twitch can see who my guest is, but those of you listening at home, just hang tight, relax, chill out. We'll get there in a second. So let's get started with our headlines for this week. Overwatch 2, to begin with. Overwatch 2 has technically been in early access since its rebrand and rework a couple of weeks ago. The latest invasion update means that the game has officially launched as of August 10th. Unfortunately for Blizzard, it seems that no one on Steam likes it, or so the overwhelmingly negative review bomb would have you believe. The biggest reasons for the negative reviews stem from the lack of previously promised content and sour feelings based on the implementation of the free-to-play model. As previously reported on this show, developers at Blizzard, according to Overwatch game director Aaron Keller, had a hard time figuring out how to implement the PvE mission experience. As of the latest update, PvE missions are in the game, but are locked behind the Battle Pass system, likely leading more to player frustrations and negative reviews. The Embracer Group, the now fairly massive Swedish holding company that has been buying up as much media as they can get their hands on, seems to have failed in a recent big deal with Saudi Arabia, or rather a Saudi Arabia-backed company. The developer Savvy Games Group is backed by the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, or the PIF. For some context, Embracer Group owns over 100 game development studios across 40 countries and now owns the rights to games like Little Nightmares 2, Goat Simulator, Tomb Raider, Borderlands, and more. They also own the rights to the Lord of the Rings and other non-gaming media as well. According to the Human Rights Watch group, Saudi Arabia is accused of multiple human rights violations, including the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in 2018. According to Embracer, Savvy Games Group backed out of the $2 billion deal. It is currently unclear as to why the developer backed away. Savvy Games is led by CEO Brian Ward, who has worked with both Activision Blizzard and Electronic Arts. Ward and Savvy Games Group believes that Saudi Arabia could be a new gaming hub. The 2023 Pokemon World Championship sees hundreds of players travel to Yokohama, Japan to compete in the Pokemon trading card game for big prizes. Two of those players were Diane Schmansky and her son, Alex. They were the first ever mother and son duo to compete together in the championships. The report from IGN by Joshua Yell details Diane and Alex's journey. Diane is from Michigan and began playing Pokemon with her son Alex when he was 9 years old. Although Diane did not win the championship during her time in Japan, she said that she did her best to try. Diane, Alex, and her second son Christopher have enjoyed traveling the world to international tournaments. Her son Alex finished 11th place in the World Championships and took home $2,500 and other prizes. And those are just some of the headlines for this week. Again, if you are a regular listener to the show and, you know, you got something you want to talk about, and I didn't, you know, do it this time, just reach out. Say hello. KamiJaceGaming on Twitter. That's right. I said it, Twitter. KamiJaceGaming on Twitter. Also on Blue Sky Comedy Jace Gaming as well. I see folks in the chat already. Hi, Barry. Hi, TJ. Hello, Deke. Orleos. Luna, welcome in. And Night Lycan is here for the Maris versus Jace boxing showdown. You know, I can confidently say I would lose that fight. Does that make sense?
I think I would. Working out a lot. I mean, maybe you would win.
No, these are.
But you would start crying. So it's like,
this is vanity muscles. These don't work. These don't work.
Please, wow, that's crazy.
Maris is indeed our guest today. Maris, thank you for joining us.
I'm always happy to be. The Planet Fitness body is insane.
The Planet Fitness body.
I would never let Chad talk to me like that.
Listen, I did go to Planet Fitness for a while. It was
ain't nothing wrong with it.
It was the closest thing to my house, and it was 24 hours. I needed it.
Period.
But otherwise, I'm a YMCA homie. You know what I'm saying?
Love to see it. We love a YMCA homie. I stand the YMCA.
Maris is here. Maris, tell the people about who you are and what you do.
Who I am? My name is Maris. I'm your undersea auntie, your favorite sea witch. Perfectly harmless, never a problem. I've never done anything wrong in my life. Look at you. You already know what it is.
I'm looking at the charts here and I don't see anything wrong. I see Maris is the best on the chart.
Period. And I am your variety streamer. I know how to make words.
That's correct. You do know how to make words. It says here on this chart, you know how to make words.
Right. It says I never know how to make words. It says never done anything wrong. Correct. Perfectly good. Angel. Harmless. Delight.
That's correct. All those words right on this paper.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, is this your handwriting?
Don't worry about that part. Why is it in green crayon? Don't ask me no questions. How about that?
Very, very cool to chat with you. Once again, we were on, I think the last time you were on actually was during Black History Month.
Yeah. So
there's nothing, none of the months are going on right now. So you're on a regular episode.
Ooh,
it feels special. Always fun and exciting for everyone. They're like, oh, I have to talk about actual video games. What's going on?
2003. That's baby numbers. I am a freaking Kappa.
So you are a VTuber.
I am a VTuber.
So talk a little bit about that, because we've spoken about it before and I've had other folks come on and talk about it before. How is the VTubing experience for you?
VTubing has become a lifestyle.
Okay.
At first it was a hobby and then it was slightly more than a hobby, and now I am understanding that it is definitely a career choice I have made somehow.
Okay.
So am I enjoying myself? Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. Not even sarcastically. Like, definitely it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's opened a lot of avenues as far as, like, presentation and what I can and can't do. It's also closed a lot of doors as far as presentation, what I can't do. Like, as far as you, when you do your little fleshy thing, that's free. You grew up with that. I have to commission shit.
Sure. That's true.
Ooh-wee. And the price window is kind of high because I can't draw.
Sure, that's true. I actually never thought about that because, you know, aside from, I guess, the equipment, right? The lighting and camera and the microphone, like, most of this is free.
Yeah, full on free 3D asset, completely rigged. You even have hair physics. That's insane. Right. Look at you.
That's a good point.
What is that, like fucking 1080p? Insane.
That's a very interesting thing. I don't think anyone has ever brought up the price of being a VTuber. Because you're either doing all of that.
Talk about it.
You're either doing all of that yourself or you're paying someone to do it, and even doing it yourself is like, you know, it's the time is
money consuming. Mm-hmm.
So you're taking a whole lot of time out of your days.
The amount of skills I've learned on my own while doing this is insane. I've become a video editor. I've become an animator. I've become a 3D artist. I've become a fucking 2D animator. I'm punching myself in the kidney.
Yeah.
Developing gallstones. It's insane.
I can only imagine. Because, yeah, I put on a shirt. I put on my glasses.
Yeah.
I paid for those, but they're model. Not.
Love that for they're you.
Not as much as what I assume you paid for what you've got going on here.
Throwing up. Oh, then boy. You realize, oh, I've put thousands of dollars into this thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't stop now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to call me a bitch at the bank.
That's definitely. I can relate with podcasting, right? Because you.
Yeah.
You spend. Imagine. If you want like the good stuff, right? The good quality mic and the
sound all nice and crispy like you. Ain't no way that was cheap.
That's right. I know that's right. Anyway, so how close are you? I saw this today. How close are you to the Black VTuber Awards?
Literally sitting in chat while she was putting it together.
Oh, okay.
She was streaming it. She literally. Okay, so Nari. Mm-hmm. Nari is a super, super sweet VTuber. She is a star goddess. And mm-hmm. if you are not following her, am I allowed to like add her? Am I allowed to like. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you so you can. She is so freaking cute.
In the chat and all that. Yeah, tell us about them.
Okay, so let me see. I think she also made a Twitch for it.
I did see a Twitter page for it earlier today, and I did retweet it. But I didn't see the Twitch. So if there's a Twitch, please let us know about that as well.
I don't think she has yet. Okay, let me make sure I have all the resources first, because I'm sitting in the Discord while she like kind of convenes on things.
Right. Well, for those of you who don't know it, I just pulled up the page really quick, and I'll read a little bit from it. The pinned tweet says exactly what I think it needs to say, right? It says, I think it's about time we came together as a community, highlighted our own, celebrated our own the way we always wanted to be celebrated, joined the VTA committee to make this Black VTuber focused award show a reality. And like, so it makes me wish I was a VTuber.
I mean, it's never too late.
That's true. That's true.
I extend my hand. Like,
that's true. You're right. You're correct.
Blue Man and Princess and the Frog. Like, shake my hand.
Come on, back. Come through. It is always very, I guess, kind of not only uplifting, but like surprising that this hasn't happened by now, right? Or that at least it's not happened on a scale where people know about it. So I'm happy to kind of highlight it and talk more about it as much as I can.
The way I've been yelling at the sun for at least 2 years now, because the first thing I said, hey, if y'all want stuff, you're going to have to do it yourself.
Right.
Like, you can't expect someone to do it for you. You have to do it. We'll be included in other things, but we'll always be drowned out. Right. By everybody else. It's not even just for Black VTubers. It's like all VTubers, all POC BIPOC VTubers. Like, you need to do it yourself first. Mm-hmm. And then they will see you and be like, oh, I want part of it. But besides the point.
Yeah, yeah. Link all the things and, you know.
Of course. I sent you her little
super
Twitter. And I don't think, no, she has not made the... She's not made a Twitch page for it, so it'll probably be on her page.
All right. Well, what do you know about it that you can share?
So, as far as I can let you all know, the VBT. It's a play on BET, first of all. So if you're familiar with that,
it is meant to sound like that. Amazing, actually.
And it's. I'll be honest, the trigger was the Small VTuber Awards, which was hosted, I believe, like last week. I was not paying attention to it. I submitted my people months ago, and I never touched it again because I knew my people weren't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the Small VTuber Awards, 6,000 nominees from everybody who submitted something in a little Google form were listed. And a lot of people were upset that they weren't seen. And a lot of people noticed that, hey, there are a lot of creators like me in this 6,000. And Nari was like, okay, so at this point, someone needs to do it. Me? Maris? Maris ain't going to do it. Maris got too much on her plate already. Mm-hmm. Nari, baby, I support you. I respect you. And I know it's going to be hard. So I hope you do well. But it is something that needs to be done if we want to put ourselves on a bigger platform. And right. She recognized that. So it's going to be something that focuses not on just small streamers, but on just Black VTubers. Mm-hmm. Now, my only concern is that it focuses on people who are like comfortable and proud in their journey of Blackness.
Right.
So we don't fall into the pit of like just supporting anybody who is Black, because not all friends are friends of mine.
Right.
I will dumb down the saying a little bit. But it is a matter of right now she needs people, because the person who did the small VTuber awards was one person, one solitary human being. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple of their friends helped towards the end once they realized how much it was. Right. Nari needs a team.
Yeah.
So if you check out her page and you look up the Black VTuber tweet that Jace was reading off of, and you'd like to go and assist, I would highly recommend showcasing your skills while they go through their interview process for the committee.
Very good. Very good. I put all the links in our chat. I'll put them in the show notes as well. So
you're amazing. You're the best.
Be sure to check that out. It's important to me now. So
is it because of me? Is it because you care me?
It's because I care you. So keeping on the VTuber trend here, you actually had something to add to this.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of segue into what constitutes as a small VTuber. And I mean, I put small VTuber, but it could be small streamer, honestly. Like, at what point do you stop being small? Someone will be like, oh, it's once you have like 50 plus viewers, but like, honestly, is it? Because just because you have 50 people that come in and watch you regularly, does it really mean you're not a small VTuber anymore? Are you highly recognized?
I'm squinting at the camera because of what?
Right. I'm squinting back at you.
I like and said canon height of 5'11 or less, but.
Damn, that's crazy.
We'll talk later.
Damn.
It's a really good question, because I, despite doing the podcast for 5 years, would say that I'm still a small podcast. And I think that is largely based on metrics, right? I get maybe 50 listens a week.
That's still really good.
That is 50 people
walk into a room and are like, I'm going to play Jace right now.
That is bigger than most folks who start out. But I consider a friend of mine who started his podcast after me, and he has like 2,000 a week. And so I'm like, that's big numbers. But then in the grand scheme of like podcasting, and you know, if you're a Joe Rogan listener, right, Joe Rogan is huge. Mm-hmm. So he not only does he have a big following, but he also has revenue from it. That is, if you're a Joe Rogan listener, get out of here. That's true. If you are a Joe Rogan
listener, real.
I don't need that many listens. Please go. but it is kind of a numbers thing, at least in my mind, right? Because I don't know many people who kind of engage with my content that way, right? I get the listens,
right.
But I don't get the engagement. Whereas,
right, exactly. Engagement's such a huge part of it.
Right.
How do you know if you give a shit about my stuff?
Exactly. Like, Joe Rogan is getting like people who retweet him and who
and subscribe, babes.
but then there's people like me who like can engage with a small group, but I don't have like people like repeating the things that I'm saying from my podcast on, you know, elsewhere.
Scary.
It does actually. And that's why I don't mind being kind of small. And I think, I would hope anyway, that folks are not, you know, so...
I'm going to start repeating Kami J saying, can you say something like trendy so I can start stealing it?
Trendy? Oh, man.
Like, bazinga, something like that.
Bazinga? I don't know if I can bazinga for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, bazinga for me? All right. We'll come back to it.
We'll workshop it. But yeah, I think what makes a small tuber not a small tuber anymore, or a small podcaster not small podcaster anymore, is really that engagement. How many people are like actively kind of working with you to make the content with you, right? It's not just you, speaking into the ether, trying to get people interested in what you're doing. It's now that people are interested in what you're doing, you've now built a community. That community shares things with you. There's one streamer I've started following recently, who has a meetup with all of their followers. Like, I don't.
Ooh, spooky.
I don't have that. That's not something I have, really. I would love to have that. I would love to. I wouldn't meet up
with my followers. I meet with my friends, but everybody.
I like.
Oh, 100 and some with y'all.
Guess. Well, you know what? That's true. I think it's like a very close knit group.
Only
like 10 folks, but I would love to meet some folks. I really would. But I'm like a lover, not a fighter. Anyway. The point though being, I think that once you start really, once the content becomes like easy to make, I think in a way, where you're kind of like, 'cause
you always have someone to listen to and they'll tell you.
Yes. Then it's, you're not small anymore. You may not be big, but you're not small.
Right. Mid-sized VTuber.
Mid-sized VTuber, like a sedan. 4-door.
Sedan VTuber.
Luna has a question.
What's up, Luna?
Luna says, do some Black VTubers choose to not reflect that on their tuber models or otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I think that it's like true for a lot of things.
What I've recently found out, because I've been following a lot of Southeast Asian VTubers, a lot of them have regrets about like not making their model more representative of them, or like having situations where they were uncomfortable talking about who they are, where they come from. And I didn't realize that was such a huge problem in Southeast Asia. Like, sure. I was like, oh, well, dang. I mean, everybody be bopping off of y'all. I didn't realize y'all didn't feel comfortable here.
No,
that's something I've been paying attention to a lot lately. Like, yeah, like, it's not even just Black VTubers. It's like any minor ethnicity. You're going to find at least like 50% of them who are just like, they don't have to know.
No.
And then the other person is like, they don't know.
Yeah. But that's a good point. I mean, like, I can remember having conversations with some folks here who have said, you know, they used to play like white models in video games because they didn't want to present that way.
Same situation, just bringing on, it's like being willing to accept that kind of like backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like, someone gonna get mad at me, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Cause it's about the provocativeness. So like a lot of people who are worried about backlash might not ever receive it. I'll be honest with you, because it's all about what kind of community you curated. And if you've curated a healthy and welcoming community, then you shouldn't be worried about backlash.
Right.
Now, if you know you made something bullshit, and a castle on sticks. I cannot help you, but
I cannot help you. I refuse to help you.
But I mean, most people like to believe in their community. So I feel like people should have a bit more faith in the friends they've made along the way. But at the same time, I do understand, because it just depends on what kind of like castle you've built for yourself. So I don't even know. Yeah, I was trying to say that, like, I feel like a lot of the fears of expressing yourself and talking about where you come from. Because, I mean, who doesn't want to share, like, things that happen to them or their experiences or their lifestyles to people from all around the world? That's the whole point of being a VTuber, is to share shit. But I don't know. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit where they're like, I hide a part of myself because I don't feel like it'll be accepted. But it's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? First of all, who? Tell me. Point on the doll.
We will fight them together.
Right. I'm just like, if you don't talk about it, no one's going to back you up.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, I can see. I can see it from both sides, right? Being vulnerable enough to kind of come beyond the VTuber model and share your experiences as, like, the person behind the model. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, once you have kind of moved past that, is it going to be a good experience for you?
Right.
I hope that it's a good experience for you, right? But it may not be. It may be kind of difficult or more difficult than, you know, other people who are in your position.
Like, who's another one? I think, like, Killa Kuma? I hope I'm saying her name right, or their name right. I'll double check on the pronouns. But they're Hawaiian. So, like, ooh-wee, they've been blowing up my fucking feed with everything going on in Maui, and I've never been more informed in my life.
Right.
And I'm just like, but no, that's what I want. That's the kind of shit I want. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable or like they're harassing people talking about a really serious event that's going on in their home. Like, that's the kind of shit you should be okay with sharing as a content creator, because regardless of what people say, whether it's 10, whether it's 20, whether it's 2,000, whether it's 10K, you got some sway over people.
Yeah.
Like, what you say and what you do will influence other people, is the whole point.
Sometimes you gotta have the serious conversations too.
You have to have the serious conversations. Other people are gonna forget you're a fucking person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're gonna be like, ooh, little anime character. Like, no, bitch, I have a life. I'm going through a divorce. Like,
There's the world is on fire.
Literally. But it's something I've been thinking about a lot.
That's
a
balancing act, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge balance. It's a huge balancing act. Now, me, I've just decided to be parasocial. I really don't care. Like, not everybody liked it.
Not everybody. That's true. Yeah,
choices you got to make.
I recognized recently that I can be very parasocial.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I enjoy the folks on, you know, in chats and on the internet to a degree that might be slightly unhealthy, but at the end of the day, I do still kind of recognize, like, there's a boundary there, right? Like, I cannot come out and touch you. So, like, the things that you say/do to me should have a little less effect on my person.
Real.
But as long as we're kind of sharing and, you know, going back and forth and having a good time, it's fine.
Right.
So we have an ad break coming up. So we're gonna take a quick break.
This world is a peaceful one. Plains, mountains, swamps, pines, cicadas sing, rivers flow, magic thrums through the air, and all of it's surrounded by a single massive wall, as ancient as history itself. So, you know, not that ancient. Thanks to the loss, prehistoric ain't all that long ago. Oh well, life is good, and assuming you don't mind the looming threat of a mysterious skeletal society.
Side Character Quest, a D&D adventure, one player at a time.
Some worlds need a hero. This one? Might need a bit more than that.
Thank you for joining. Welcome back. So we are going to jump right into these new stories we've got in for the next 30 minutes. So let's get right to it. 9 years ago, Konami and Hideo Kojima showed the world the PT demo. The demo was released on PS4 and was later revealed to be part of the Silent Hills project and was set to feature Norman Reedus as protagonist. Since then, no game for the project has released. Kojima went on to create Death Stranding instead, still using Reedus as the star, and Capcom seemed to take the hype from the PT demo to create Resident Evil 7. Now, on the anniversary of PT's release, film director Guillermo del Toro seems interested. On August 12th, Del Toro quote tweeted from another tweet from the Game Awards saying only, "Ah, Konami, what sayest thou? Arambo Konamitas." Arambo Konamitas translates to "I will visit Konami." Yeah. What do we think about it?
I'm ready for that. I'm very ready. I Guillermo del Toro could like pour me a glass of milk and I thank him. I'm lactose intolerant, like aggressively lactose intolerant.
Sure. Did you ever see or play PT?
No. Oh God, no.
Somehow I figured.
You know me. I don't like scary things.
You're right.
Okay, Chad, I really need you to understand, like, Jace like scary things, like on a casual sense. Mm-hmm. Jace will play through a scary game and be like, "Oh, that's nice. Nice little stroll through the woods. Oh no, I've been eaten by a monster. Me, I'm going to piss and cry." Right. I might throw up a little bit if it's a little too gory. So like,
imagine Guillermo del Toro getting his hands on this.
It'll be so beautiful, but it'll be so disgusting.
Will you play it?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I think I would too.
I'll play it for the story. What you mean it was fun? Die.
Some people do remember your Resident Evil 4 stream, and I
ain't touching that hoe no more. Leave me alone. Because I watched the way it ends, and you ain't no. No, you're not going to stress me out for free? Crazy.
Okay, so maybe I need to play other scary things, because it is true that for the most part, I've only ever played for people Resident Evil. So maybe I should play like Alien.
Jace likes mild horror shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you like it, because I've never been able to gauge that. Because you're not like, "Oh my god, I love horror games." But you're very much a casual enjoyer of the scary.
I do. I wish there was a way to actually get I love the original Silent Hill games. Clock Tower. Maybe I could. Well,
I mean, you could just don't say that's what you're doing.
If everyone's cool about it, everyone shut the fuck up about it, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Maybe I could. Dead Space is awesome. I love Dead Space. Dead Space is nasty as fuck, but I love that game.
It's so wild, because every time one comes out, like the stupid post-apocalyptic or scary horror game in space comes out, because there was one every month last year. I'll go in someone's stream and I'll peek at it. I'll be like, I wonder how this one goes. And then all of a sudden, rah, rah, blood, guts, rah, rah, alien, rah, death. And I'm just like, okay. Turns off stream. Puts on Stardew Valley. I need to relax.
It is true. Even for me, after I've played a ton of like really horrific stuff, I need a moment. I need some time. I will not play, though. I will say there are some horror games I cannot play. One of them is like Amnesia. Amnesia, scary. Outlast. Those games thrive on making you feel too helpless.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean my only weapon is a lantern? Like, I'm
going to start crying for real. Never mind.
Give me a knife at least.
Like, I don't even want someone to play the game in the same room as me.
A short sword, a dagger, anything.
Give me a gun.
The ability to curse at someone and they fucking disappear.
Vicious mockery.
Yeah. Like, it's too much to just have to, like, run and have a camera. You know, like, can I get anything else? Do I get a phone? Can I call 911? Like, anything. So, Outlast bothers me. Amnesia bothers me.
But like, I'll play the hell out of some Dead Space or some Alien or some. Oh, Deke does have a point that Stardew did introduce some scary like elements to it. Like, man,
it's alien. Just a little guy.
It's just a little man.
It's just a little dude. What are you scared of him for? He just wants to eat your vegetables.
Yeah, well, what if I ain't got none? Is he coming for me?
Maybe. He just tell you to grow some vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to try fish. He doesn't want to eat you.
He just wants
you to work for him. Free labor.
Free labor. Oh,
That's what he's about. Free labor.
Nope. Unionize immediately.
Unionize the farmers in Stardew Valley.
Yep, all of them. Every single one.
He doesn't want to eat me yet. You're so paranoid.
Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to set up a scary day. Actually,
scary day.
October's coming up.
October is coming up.
Are you all thinking what I'm thinking? I'll figure it out.
Just Little Nightmares. I think that would be a fun game for you.
Oh, Little Nightmares. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I actually have not played that one, so that's a good one.
I've been thinking about playing it for like a thing, but I'm not. I ain't doing it free. I ain't doing it free.
That's a good one. Little Nightmares.
Jace Horror Month? I want to see Jace Horror Month. And by see, I mean like I'll watch clips. I'm not.
You don't want to be there?
You are going to be a tab open in my browser.
Be there? Just squint a little. It's fine.
You think I'm going to watch it?
Ooh, Portrait of God. Okay. No, shut up. Okay, we'll watch that. let's hurry up.
Oh my gosh. Taking me by the arm, child. I'm closing my eyes.
Just squint a little. That's what I did. Just squint a little at the when I was a kid, I used to like cover
my eye like
cover peek. Myself up to like here in a sheet and then just squint at the screen. Because then when anything scary happens, you shut your eyes real quick and then you open
Me before I learned musical cues. No, the music changed. I closed my eyes now.
Yep, close my eyes now. Actually, hang on. That wasn't there before. I shut my eyes now.
You know what was oddly terrifying that I watched the other day? I was watching someone play Stray. I thought that was a cute little game about a cat.
Yeah. Stray.
That was a lie.
Stray is really interesting because it takes the premise that you can't play as anything except like a human. And it makes it into something both very kind of satisfying in a way because you're a cute cat, but also like jarring and frightening.
Yes.
It is so good. I really enjoy that game.
I'm punching Lycan.
No, I kind of agree with both Lycan and Barry. Stray is both horrifying and cute and cozy.
Oh my God.
It is like, so many things at once.
I was so fucking shook because I'm watching the streamer play it and I was like, ooh, fun cat, little robots, everything I love. And then shit started happening.
I don't think it's on Game Pass yet.
Is it?
But it is on the PSN, the PS network. So if you have a PlayStation 4 or 5, I believe you can grab it. It should actually be on Game Pass because it is out for Xbox. So check out Game Pass, see if Stray's on there, and give it a try. Recommendations are later, but still do that. Speaking of Microsoft and Xbox, segue. Microsoft has announced that a new Xbox feature will hopefully help curb the behavior of some gamers. The new enforcement strike system, detailed in an August 15th blog post from Microsoft, was technically already in place for Xbox players, but the updated system is supposed to, quote, give players a better understanding of enforcement severity and the cumulative effect of multiple enforcements. Strikes will be based on the severity of actions and likens it to getting strikes on a driver's license, which means that players are getting suspended for a certain amount of days equal to the severity of their actions. Players are limited to 8 strikes before they are removed from all of Xbox social features, including messaging and multiplayer, for 1 year, and strikes remain on record for 6 months.
I'm not mad at it.
I think it is at least a very good step forward.
Yeah.
Like a very good step forward.
I don't know how much they're going to maintain that, but like I'm not mad at it.
One of the things Overwatch did really well after having terrible harassment was implement a system that said, like, hey, you reported this person, we've taken action, you'll never see them again. And that Ooh. That was enough for people, right? Like,
that's amazing.
People were happy with that. So now that Xbox, after many years, has decided to actually tell folks, like, you aren't banned, right? Like, you have done something egregious enough for not only for a report to happen, but for us to issue a strike onto your gamer tag or whatever.
Your permanent record.
Yeah, basically, right? your Xbox driver's license. Now that we've done that for you, now that we've done that to you, you cannot come back to this platform for a year. And like, imagine being like a 13-year-old, right?
They struck my account. I've been banned.
Yep. And now your mother is paying for an Xbox Gold account
that you can't even use. You can play your games.
can't play multiplayer, nothing. Though.
Shh, that's every game.
Yep, literally. No Call of Duty.
You can't even play fucking FIFA. That's crazy.
Can't play FIFA. Shout out if you play FIFA, by the way. I don't know a single soul.
My dad.
Good for him. but yeah, I think it's a good step forward, especially for Xbox, right? I don't think Sony or PlayStation has anything like this in place.
But people aren't that terrible.
There's nothing, there's nothing on PC that guarantees that kind of protection for players who are.
Yeah, that's usually harassed. Based off of the server itself.
Right. Even Twitch does not have that robust of a system.
It's getting there. Do you see they introduced a, so if you block someone on your stream, it completely blocks them now.
Oh.
As opposed to where they could still hate watch you, like they can't even watch your stream anymore.
That's cool. I do did that.
Goodbye forever.
don't look at me.
You don't even perceive me.
Don't you look at me. I just hope that we can find a way to kind of implement things like this kind of everywhere, right?
Across the board, yeah.
I don't know of much, maybe some other people do. I don't know of much Final Fantasy 14 harassment in the game, at least. But, you know, something of that nature where, like, you've harassed so many people that you have 8 strikes against you. Don't play this game. Like, go away.
Don't they suspend accounts? Or do you just get gulagged?
But I don't know how long or how much or how you know what the criteria is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know how serious they take it. Whereas it seems like Xbox is at least willing to like do a complete investigation, put the strike on your account for 6 months, and then like you know. Suspend you for X amount of days while you think about your crimes.
You're grounded.
Yeah. And then ultimately getting taken away if it exceeds 8 strikes.
And the gold pass ain't cheap either. So it's damn, imagine paying for it. Because most people pay for it in advance anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think it's like 3 months installments is the smallest you can get.
Right.
I don't know, but you're definitely paying for more than a month at a time. Like, hoo-wee.
Yeah.
Mad as hell.
One thing they did say is that it does seem like there aren't a ton of these happening, right? So it says in 2022, fewer than 1% of all players received a temporary suspension, and 1/3 of those received a second one. So, like, you know. Maybe the inappropriate behavior is enough that we can hear about it, but not enough that we can see it rampantly.
Right. You can save this for another podcast. Like, punishments. But, like, harassment in video games and how it's handled, how it's tolerated.
Sure.
I'd be down to listen to that.
Twitch? I'm calling you out on your own platform, Twitch. Orleo said, the last time I reported someone in the last few weeks in Final Fantasy 14, my GM was in my DMs. Ha, within 30 minutes. Didn't hear.
I will say.
They were fast on it. Yeah.
They work fast as shit.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, because sometimes they put up, like, little positions on Square Enix for GMs. And I'd be looking at them like,
I could do that.
Right. But then I think about it, I'm like,
I have to log into the game.
No, I'd be super biased. I'd be like, blocked. Get out of my face.
Right.
No, or sometimes someone would be like, oh no, they're following me around. I'm like, shut up.
They do nothing.
You're right. They ain't doing shit to you. Why are you letting somebody online bother you? Bitch, just block them.
Deke says, Final Fantasy is so opaque about how they handle that shit. Mm-hmm. And to its detriment, could probably learn from this approach by Xbox. I think so too. I think this is a good standard to set for video games and, you know, like PC gaming and all that stuff going forward. Hopefully it happens. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes of.
Fingers crossed for the resurgence of Xbox, the Xbox Renaissance, where that's not like a shit platform and I can actually go and talk in game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are chaffing the wheat, as it were.
This week in gaming history is up next. This week in gaming history, where we talk about some gaming history stuff that happened this week. Starting with this August 13th. First is the birth of Koji Kondo, the Japanese music composer, pianist, and sound director at Nintendo. He's known for basically every Super
My childhood.
Mario game. Yep. Every Super Mario game, Zelda, Link to the Past, Super Mario 64, and as late as Wind Waker, I believe, was their last game.
I'm going to interrupt that one. Like, do you know how many people, like, make background music and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. And it's always based off like those chords from like Super Mario or from Zelda. And like if you listen to the part enough, you're like, oh, I see where you reference this from. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, damn.
Yeah.
Imagine knowing you influence all of that.
Very influential. Like,
do you think he knows?
I think by now he must, right?
I feel like he don't know.
I feel like by now. Koji Kondo, 62 years old today or this week. Happy birthday.
Here to many more.
Payday 2 also released now 10 years ago. I've never
touched that game.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I know you have to play with people. I didn't have friends like that.
Oh, true. You know what? I was terrible at Payday 2, but I still tried. And at some point, I was like, never mind. I don't want to do this anymore. August 14th, the Sega Genesis releases in 1989. It is now 34 years old.
My face skin up when you said that. I'm not going to lie. And I know it's not your fault. I know it's not my fault, but it pissed me off somehow. What do you mean 34? Shut up.
34 years old. It released alongside the Altered Beast video game, which I'm sure a lot of folks know by now. Similarly, on this day, August 14th in 1995, the Virtual Boy released. I think that went pretty down to the wayside.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. It is now considered a classic console, and it is 28 years old.
The way my nose crunched up. I'm so sorry. It's making me mad.
Metroid for the NES released in 1987, making it now 36 years old. And Chrono Cross released in 2000, making it now 23 years old. Chrono Cross made me feel old because I was playing that like the other day.
I've heard people are like, oh my gosh, you should totally play Chrono Cross. It's like a classic game. I'm like, I should play a lot of classic JRPGs.
Yeah.
There's a lot I got to go through.
Whoops. Oh, I got a text message. Okay, great. What else we got? Let's see. Aha.
August 16th,
the day of this recording, Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver releases in 1999.
I have never heard of that before. What is that?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Ask Bran about it.
Oh, Lord. Ask Bran about it.
Ask Bran about that game. I know about it because my brother played a good bit of it, but I think Bran is really into that game specifically.
I'm copy pasting into it.
Literally, just
explain.
America, explain. August 17th for Europe, TMNT, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game for the NES, finds its way finally to Europe in 1990. Shout out to anyone from Europe You did it. And it's really
check that chat out.
It's really funny because I think it's this game and Streets of Rage, which I love, that set off the UK community specifically around beat 'em ups. Beat 'em ups is a fantastic genre of video games. If you have never played a beat 'em up before, Streets of Rage 4 is still out. I believe it's still on Game Pass. There's a few other beat 'em up titles out there that are swimming around. Go check them out. They're so much fun. And the UK ate that shit up back in the day.
They love violence. I'm sorry.
I guess so.
I'm sorry.
Do they?
I'm sorry.
We all love violence, don't we? August 18th, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer video game for Xbox releases in 2002.
I do remember.
Do you?
Having a friend who had an Xbox, and we played Buffy the Vampire Slayer because we were like really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We were really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh my god.
There were some other releases like Zombie for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Disney Infinity, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and Wolfenstein. But I thought like those seem like nobody really paid attention to those.
No.
Maybe Disney.
Disney Infinity. They tried so hard, Disney Infinity. I remember that being like a whole thing they tried to push out.
Right. And now the other Disney game that's much more popular is out. Shout out to Roy Leo Knight who plays that.
Is that Dreamlight Valley?
Well, Wolfenstein, the 2009 edition, not the original one.
Right.
From like Dreamlight Valley. Yes. Sorry. I just heard it. Thank you.
Dreamlight Valley is so good. Yes.
I should say it is not the original Wolfenstein. It is 2009's PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 version of Wolfenstein, which I do not think was as good as the original.
Wolfenstein is also on my list of games to play.
It's pretty interesting. The old one or this?
Both.
One? Okay. The old one is definitely really cool.
Yeah. Someone said that you need to play the old one first and then play the new release.
The New Order and the Colossus ones are really cool too. Mm-hmm. I don't think the 2009 version was very fun.
We look away.
August 19th is the birth of Amy Hennig. She is the writer for the Legacy of Kain series and also for Uncharted. Born in 1964, 59 years ago. Happy birthday to soon. Happy birthday this Saturday. I also added on this some recent releases. Dead to Rights in 2002, which is a favorite game of mine. Unfortunately, I do like a little bit of Copaganda. It's terrible, and I wish I didn't like it.
Sometimes
it's good. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's good.
You just said that lie.
Dead to Rights is a terrible but great game. Remnant from the Ashes also released August 19th, 2019. That is 4 years ago now, I believe. So, and it just released its second installment.
Why time moves so fast?
Why indeed does time move so fast?
That was 4 years ago. Jesus Christ. Oh, my back hurt.
Yep. Oh, my back hurt. Stop. And that is your gaming history for this week. We're about to wrap up the show, and as we do wrap up the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Here comes my plug!
Do it.
You guys, Halia is an open beta. If you like farming sims and cute characters and fun stories and just a general supporting a small little development company, please play Palia. Please go and look at their open beta and please support them as much as you can. The way these people are pulling all the stops out. They have character customization. They have like Afrocentric hairs that look really fucking good, actually. I have braid buns in this game. I even got box braids in real life. Let's talk about that part. And I need that game to blow the fuck up. I need it to blow the fuck up because I need everyone to see that all you need to do is just make a decent MMO and then you'll be successful and everybody will support you. Just make fun games and games will be fun. I'm not asking for a lot in this country. Go play Palia.
I'm not asking for a lot in this country. Go play Poly. I will actually second that. I haven't gotten a chance to really sit down with it, but I did get a chance.
My referral code.
I got into the closed beta.
Good.
And I played around with it a little bit, but I haven't really had a chance to really sit and get into it. So I think if I know more people, it just gives you housing. That's beautiful.
It just gives you
housing. I think if I know more people who get into it, I will.
You have to come play. Because Martin and Flash and I were playing the other day, and it was so fun.
Oh, those are
so it was at like 2 a.m., but like, you know, whatever.
Late. Never mind. Do what? Sorry. I take it back. I'm not awake at 2 a.m.
Deke, do you not want land? Do you not want to be a landowner?
Do you not wish to have a white picket fence and 2.5 children?
Right.
And
I'm
a
living
farm?
The American dream online.
Not in real life.
What's, not in real life. Never.
Who
real
does
life.
That?
Freaks.
Shout out if you do that. ad breaks are in progress. So we'll like dance.
Oh,
around
my other game recommendation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pikmin fucking 4.
Ooh, Pikmin 4.
Pikmin 4 was an amazing experience, and I've just finished this fucking. Well, I'm going to finish the game when I stream next, whenever that is. But the game is pretty much done for me because I already know what's going on. But oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. This was my first Pikmin game.
Yeah.
I've never played Pikmin before in my life, obviously, because I had no consoles as a child. But
that's fair, actually. I don't know why I expected you to already have played Pikmin, but I too have never played a Pikmin game.
They're so dumb, and
a Wii for literally every. Like, we've had literally no console. I just never picked it up.
I don't know. I guess the appeal falls, like, in just, oh, my God, cute thing. I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that really well. And then I'm rewarded immediately.
Yep. That's very true.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone should play Pikmin 4. The story is fun. Yeah. There's no, like, ceiling for lore. It's just it's there, it's available to you, and it's enjoyable, and I'm hoping they introduce DLC to the game, because in itself the game, I want to say, it's probably like 10 hours worth of full gameplay. I managed to finish it within 30 hours on and off,
right?
And that is because it has post credit story, so that's all of it. So 30 to 40 hours.
Nintendo's good at the cozy games.
It's an excellent cozy little game. Mm-hmm. It has just a little bit of stress, but it's not too much where it's like, oh, this is too much. It's a wonderful game. Please play Pikmin 4.
If you're going to play Pikmin content. 4, also play, what's the good game I like to play sometimes?
Which
Splatoon? Splatoon 3. Splatoon 3 is a shooter.
I'm looking directly at you. You can't be serious.
It's so cute. I love Splatoon.
You've been playing Splatoon?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm going to play Splatoon with you.
Great. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I haven't played in a while, but like, I love Splatoon.
It's a cute game.
When I feel like I need a shooter without having to talk to humans.
Yeah, like Splatoon. A less stressful shooter.
Splatoon. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Just throwing paint all
over. Just don't take it seriously. If you take it seriously, then it's too much.
No.
I'm not trying to get my ass whooped by 12-year-olds. Like, children do play Splatoon, and I'm not trying to get into that.
I do try to win, but like, that's me in every shooter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course you're gonna try to win.
Don't at me about Gundam. That it's gone broke.
We're crying about
Ripperoni, Ripperoni, Ripperoni. we are done with the recommendations. Go check out Palia. Go check out Pikmin 4. Check out Baldur's Gate 3 if you haven't already. And Splatoon 3. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
If you are looking for me, you can find me on Twitch at Maris_mermaid. You can also find me on Twitter at Maris_mermaid. You can also find me on just about every social media site, because I've gone through and signed up for everything in case someone tries to steal my shit. @Maris_mermaid.
That's the way to do it. All right. As always, you can find me at Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitter and also on Blue Sky. And you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well, not on Blue Sky, only on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or on Podchaser. It helped the listen. Al Gore has some rhythm, and
ooh, he do be rhythming.
I want some of that, the Al Gore rhythm. So you have to go onto these things and leave a review so that I could get a little piece of rhythm. So just do it. It helps the show a lot. It helps me a lot. Helps me grow, and I will not be a small podcaster forever. be sure to check out the links
in the
including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian, DoghouseCorgian, Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at dog_noise, DOG_NOISE. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Maris Mermaid.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.